Fucking non-sucking on all night long.
Sucking on it, sucking on it
all night long.
Sucking on it, sucking on it.
All night long.
My big prong.
Okay. Fuck, I can't wait to be at your funeral so I can go. And one last thing I would like to say to Fred.
One last thing.
Sucking on it, old big prong. No, that's not right.
You don't have the words right. Fuck. If you're going to sing my songs,
if
get the words
sing
right.
Sing the sucking on it song.
Don't butcher the lyrics, man. What the Jesus fuck is the matter?
I'm so much more mature than you.
You are. That's good. It's great. I'm a big fucking asshole, and I like it.
And you're an asshole. It's
no,
childish.
I am an asshole, though. I'm not.
Stop fucking doing
fucking.
Don't stop doing your new fucking woe is me. I'm an asshole.
That's not a
fucking routine.
That's not a woe is me.
It fucking is.
No, you know what? It's admitting.
Is it? Let's go on the air and you can tell more people how they'll hate you and they'll be like, oh no, Randy, we love you. You're not an asshole. You're not even that. Suck my dick.
I like doing that the other day just to see how those guys reacted. It was funny.
Okay, we ready?
Yeah, but it's true, though.
Are we recording?
Yep. They don't like me. They don't like me. Redhead senorita looking dead, can't be sad, need a bed in Espanol. So I give a drink of water, gonna sing around the collar, and I don't need a microphone.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, and a newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, squeezed in the cozy lungs of Sirius XM Canada. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-877-965-2844. That's 1-877-965-2844.
Okay, all right. This is cool and everything, but we're live from Toronto. Well, that's not new. We're always live in Toronto. We're actually at the headquarters of Sirius XM in downtown Toronto, about 10 minutes west of where we normally broadcast from.
Yes, it's a nice environment here. Lots of exposed brick. Exposed brick makes you feel good for some reason.
Sure it does.
Makes you feel trendy.
This is like one of those converted lofts or something. Back in the 30s and 40s, they probably used this building to make ammunition for the Allies.
Well,
you know, it's one of those places where like, oh, we've got to, come on, everyone, we've got to get together and make ammunition for the Allies.
Do you want to hear something funny?
I do want to hear something funny.
If you walk about 5 minutes south of here, it's the exhibition.
Yeah.
CNE.
Yes.
Just north of the railroad tracks there was a place, a large warehouse that's no longer there, and it was called the Colt Warehouse, and that's where Loblaws used to do their distribution of groceries. Okay?
Yes.
That Colt Warehouse was actually a munitions factory during the war, and then Loblaws took it over. Right?
Well, this is why I feel these things.
No, I know, for the distribution warehouse. And just further to that, my very first summer job, 1973, was there.
Jesus.
And I was like 17, and I wanted to be a broadcaster. I wanted to be a sportscaster. And there, and I used to be there all summer long, a dirty, rotten, stinking job in that warehouse, thinking, I wonder if one day I can ever be on the radio.
So how'd that turn out for you? Did you ever get a job in radio? Did you ever become a broadcaster?
It just seems so, it just seems, here I am, like, how many years, 40-some-odd years later, just minutes from that location, sitting behind a microphone, being on the radio.
And all this started because you said exposed brick makes you feel trendy.
Yes.
And then I took it.
Mm-hmm.
And we wove magic from it.
Well, it's amazing that you went.
I pick up. I'm like a psychic vibe network.
Yeah, how you sort of took it to that area when in fact, that's what it was in this area.
Well, this is what I thought. Yeah. Here's another
thing.
Did
you know that?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But you know me. I feel things vibrationally.
Mm-hmm.
So about 10 minutes from here is a little area where Tip Top Tailors is.
Right.
And they're very expensive lofts. They've turned this whole Tip Top Tailor factory into, you know, it's like one of those trendy things, very much like this building, you know, high ceilings, exposed bricks, very expensive. But during the war, I've told you this story, my father was, before they were shipped over to France to die, they were trained at something called Manning Depot, and it was right around the exhibition grounds. And they would march, and the women that worked at the Tip Top Tailor Factory at their lunch hour would wave to the soldiers as they marched by.
Isn't that sweet?
And my father, every time he came to Toronto, would say, "You see that? That's where," and he would tell that story. And it was great the first couple of hundred times.
Right. But, so that was called the Manning Depot?
Manning Depot.
Where they were trained. Yeah. You could use some training at the Home Depot, actually, you, the way you are with the tool. Anyway,
I don't understand. You told a nice story, and I didn't come in there with some.
You did. You would if you'd have thought of something. If you would have thought of something,
I told a heartfelt story about Lou.
All right,
a young soldier. Okay, you know you could use some training at the. As soon as you fucking said, was that called Manning Depot? I knew it was either going to play on words. Well, you could be. You could use some man training or something.
Well, no, Home Depot.
I get it.
That's funny, and the reason I say that is the other day, Chris. Emmanuel, the guy that built our shitter, as a nice little gesture, as a gift to you, gave you a laser level, right?
Love the laser level.
And then he walks away, and you look at me, and you put your hands up, and you go, what am I going to do with this?
When am I going to fucking laser level something?
So that's why I would say maybe you need some Home Depot training. You know, they have classes on Saturday for all sorts of things.
Well, you know, here's the thing I'm 100% sure of. I wanted to avail myself of home renovating instruction, there'd be no end of places and people that would help me.
No, I know.
But the trick is, do I want it? No, I don't.
Well,
but I did laser. Listen, to that end, I sent you see the picture of me laser. I laser leveled.
Well, see, now you're contradicting yourself. You say, "Am I interested? Do I want to?" No. Yet you actually used the laser level, and it was like the highlight of your weekend.
It was one of them.
Exactly. You felt a great sense of accomplishment.
I did a lot of man stuff around the house this weekend with our good friend Dan Durant. I shouldn't say the house, around the office. Welcome, everyone. It's the Humble and Fred Show. Where we are for the next couple of days while we get our studio ready, our new studio will be going to be broadcasting there either Wednesday, for sure Thursday, and the grand opening is Friday. But we moved over on Friday. That was a full day. And then Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, we spent some time putting up some soundproofing. At one point, I needed the laser level, and there it was.
Yeah, it's great. It's a super tool. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
Let's tell you, nothing goes crooked with a laser level. It's foolproof. It's a wonderful tool.
You know, you like to kid me about the fact that I'm not that handy around the house, and I know you are. But I don't, like, you're at a level obviously higher than me. But you, I can just tell, you are, I mean, you're very good, but you're not Dan Duran good.
No.
Like, I want to talk a little bit about Dan. Dan spent Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday staying with me and working with us. And, you know, you saw what he did Friday to get us out of the old place and get us into the new place. But then I was there for a good couple of days with him putting stuff up on the wall. And, you know, all joking aside, I could have, you know, we've done this now three times. I could have figured it out, you know, certainly the foamy stuff, but there's doing a job, there's doing a good job, and then there's Dan Duraning a job. And the Dan Duran level of jobbingness is, it's pretty thorough.
Here's the thing about Dan Duran. He doesn't do a job just to get it done. He does a job.
No.
Seriously.
No, I know. I lived it.
He does a job to do it correctly. Dan Duran's the type of guy that if he's three quarters into a job and doesn't like it, he'll break it down and start again. I would never do that. I know you would never do that because of impatience and you can't be bothered. So the thing is, if you get into a job and it's not quite the way you want it, you go, it's good enough.
It's fine. It's good enough.
And then for the rest of time, you're looking at it going, oh, geez, I wish I'd have done that a bit differently. Dan Duran, at any point, will break down and start again. And that's the key. Because I've seen it with him in his trailer. Like, he'll just get in and he'll be standing there looking at it. And you'll go, what? Oh, I don't like this. Dan, it's fine. And next thing you know, it's a part and he redoes it. That's the key.
No, you're right.
Plus, he has vision.
Oh, but. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You know, like, one of the reasons Dan and I have been friends a long time is that, you know, and you're a bit this way, but we talked about this, Dan and I. Like, I have an aesthetic view of things. I like things a certain way. I mean, I'm not as particular maybe in the handyman thing, but I like things a particular way, which is one of the reasons that the show is, you know, we do the show the way we do, because you like it a certain way, I like it a certain way. Dan, he just... You know, you might say to Dan, you know, this might be one day, I said this to him, you know, one day I should put some lights up here on my little patio.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to bed
mm-hmm.
at 11 o'clock. And the next day I woke up and there were patio. He had found some lights
mm-hmm.
and he put up the fucking lights
mm-hmm.
on the patio.
No, I know. And he's very sweet and thoughtful.
100%. But it was like, you know, it was just one of those things. I'm like, oh, it might be kind of nice to do that. And then I woke up and they were done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both Friday night, Saturday night, I went to bed before him because he just gets this Terminator thing going. I just got tired. I went to bed. Both nights he went back down into the office and did stuff.
No, and he has a great vision because, you know, not to give too much detail, there was one little area of the new studio that's just a bit awkward, just the way it worked out. And it's like, how do you work with that space? And then he has the vision to make that space look like it belongs, which he has done. And that's what I love about it. And not only that, but he'll add little touches that makes things cool. It's he's the handyman. Handyman.
Who hey. Can take the vision and sprinkle it with dew. That was me. I was his helper.
Handyman.
No, the handyman can.
That's pretty. Look at the verse that's still listening. Late last week, we were singing the Candyman, and now it's the handyman.
Yeah, look at the versatility. We changed a letter. We took the C and made it an H. What? And we're no wonder we're comedic geniuses.
Durant couldn't do that.
No, he'd be thinking about that for days.
No.
Should it be a D? No, Dan, you idiot.
You're the handyman.
Yeah. Anyway, the place looks great, and
yeah.
When you get there today, you'll see. I mean, you know, it. I woke up yesterday morning, same thing. I had this idea. I was literally said to him while we were making coffee, I said, gee, I've been thinking about this morning. How are we going to hang these panels on the wall? Dude had already researched it,
mm-hmm.
Googled it, and found that we had somehow, when we built those panels, you and I and our other friend, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
we had a bunch of things in a bag mm-hmm. that were pieces and spare right. parts. He found those, mm-hmm. looked at them, and had a plan. Mm-hmm. Because when we put those up, they're perfect. Mm-hmm. Not only were they leveled, but the way they went on the wall, I mean, you see, they're all lined up. No, I helped him, but I didn't have, I could never have.
Without figured, him, you would have never done it.
Without him,
neither I would
have taken long nails mm-hmm. and hammered the shit out of it. Which is, by the way, if you want to know how handy I am, this is what I do. I have a problem, I just get a longer nail, and I hammer the shit
out of it.
I do. Uh-huh. Like, my eyes just, I don't have, and my vision begins and ends with, well, we'll probably need another nail.
Yeah.
We should put some more nails in it.
So guess who's going to be on site today looking around?
No.
Yeah.
The missus?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You can't.
Well, she just told me last night.
Well, I know,
she,
but I...
She said, I'm taking the day off tomorrow. Do you mind if I come down and look around?
I got to clean up now.
Why?
Because your wife is going to walk around my residence. And I don't have...
She's so excited to see everything.
Oh, Christ.
Oh,
I don't...
Fuck.
Shit.
Okay.
What do I do?
Listen, I'll message her right now to stay away.
No, don't do that. Don't be that guy. Don't be that.
No, I'll put... You know your idea of coming down because you were so excited? Don't. Howard doesn't want you there.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I, of course, want her there, but I need to prepare. I got to go up and make the bed and stuff and get some hors d'oeuvres.
You don't need hors d'oeuvres.
For your wife?
I'll take her over for a goat roadie.
It's not open on Mondays.
Oh, fuck.
For your wife, I need to get some olive tapenade. Yeah, that's what you do. When Fred's wife comes over, if you don't have a tapenade, at least a minimum or some...
What's a tapenade?
That's ground up olives.
It's a spread.
Is it?
Yeah. It's really good. It's one of my favorite new things.
Is that
don't look at Kyle. Kyle doesn't know. How do you know? It's a different of what?
Tapas? Is that what it means? Like tapenade is
No, it's okay. It's like basically, go ahead, Phil.
Well, tapas is sort of like Spanish dim sum, right? And tempanada is like a spread, like a hummus.
Okay.
You use it with olives. And you know, you've had it. It's basically ground up black olives. Anyway, with your wife coming to my place, I'm going to need to clean up. It looks pretty good.
Well, don't let her upstairs then.
No, I got to let her upstairs. I want her to see, and maybe she'll have some vision. She can't go in Spencer's room, though. That's a shithole. I'm a little bit, I was at my ex-wife's house last night. I'll talk about that later. But I walked into Spencer's room in Randy's house.
Mm-hmm.
And looks completely, she lives there. So, of course, it's all put away. But I go into her room and she still hasn't put away the stuff we moved 6 weeks ago. It's still all over the place. So I just leave that door closed.
Well, why don't you put it away?
Why don't I do what?
Just be a typical parent and go, you know what? She's not going to do it. I'm going
to
do it.
No, I'm not doing that.
Oh.
I got nails to bang into walls. Yeah, it was pretty good weekend. Today we're going to unpack the office, which is in the basement of. And by the way, it looks lovely, Phil. It's comfortable. You know, we had a. It looks really nice.
Mm-hmm. There's even a carpet. I like. There's a carpet in there.
Well, yeah.
We had a carpet in the last one.
Yeah.
Well, not a rug, but like
you.
An actual
but you didn't
underneath.
See it because you were busy Friday. I'm just curious. So we finished the show Friday and we had the movers come over and that was a long process because at one point we're trying to figure out should they go down the stairs and then did you find the you found the service elevator, right? Did you?
No.
Somebody found the service elevator.
It was interesting because I thought, driving to work that morning, I thought, usually when you move, you have to notify and let them know. And what if they only want you to move on weekends? And is this going to turn into a shitstorm now? So the truck backed up to the front doors. And immediately, Karen, the girl there, is going,
the office
asking
manager
them to move.
Girl,
and I'm thinking, oh, what's this going to turn into? And then a couple of minutes later, the little assistant guy came out and he said, hey, you guys should be using the freight elevator at the back of the building, which I didn't know existed. So that sort of tense moment turned into, it was just wonderful.
Like a dream.
Yeah.
Well, the only other, there were some tense moments early on when the guy that owned the company, the driver, nobody could find it. And there was a couple of seconds where the guy was giving me shit because he kept saying, I do hundreds of moves a month. You think I got the wrong address? I go, well, do you think I gave you the wrong address? Like, we had a couple of seconds there where it was going to be like, so you think I told you 33rd Street? Anyway, but that passed.
You should call him back today, and now that the move's done, chew him a new asshole.
I don't have my, my taste for asshole isn't what it used to be.
I know, what's done is done.
You know, that's true, though. Mm-hmm. It is. Like, the old Howard would have been on the phone chewing asshole to the wee hour. I would munch
hey,
it.
Remember the other day when I called you?
Yeah, and you said.
And he goes, no, who? And then I was the guy who did this and that, and well, I'm not quite sure. 33rd Street? Oh, that guy. Yeah, well, you an asshole.
You have a fucking dick. How does your asshole feel? Is it properly chewed? Oh, yes, I would have chewed in an asshole. But I don't have any, I've lost my stomach for asshole.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, and you're younger, you want to chew everyone's asshole. How do you like that?
As you get older, your tastes become a little more refined.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I may chew a taint from time to time. A little soupçon of a tapenade. Excuse me.
But of course, only on invitation.
No, by invitation only.
Yeah.
I was wondering, well, no.
Your celebrity couldn't allow you to chew taint without being invited.
Mine can.
Sometimes they might let you chew taint just based on the fact that you're Humble Howard.
Okay, we're kind of mixing the metaphors here.
Yeah.
So.
You wouldn't want to chew.
Anyway,
right.
I'm hot now. This fucking studio's gotten really hot. Wait till the office.
I'm Humble Howard. I bet you want me to chew your taint.
Don't you need me to chew your taint? My celebrity status? Oh, you're Humble Howard. By the way, I want to talk about some people just drifting by the studio yesterday morning. Just happened to, hey, Humble, how are you doing?
And
brought their kid.
No.
Brought their kid. Nice guy, actually. Nick.
Get used to that.
I just opened the door for a second. We were in the studio yesterday morning, finishing off the soundproofing, and I just opened the front door and walked out, and all of a sudden there was this guy and his kid. Very, very nice man.
Do they live in the area, or was it a a special trip.
They were in town for something.
From where?
Guelph.
Really?
Wow.
And he was looking for the studio and found me in front of the studio.
Mm.
And he and his young daughter came in, very nice people, Humble and Fred listeners, had a little look around, asked me for a breakfast recommend, and I sent them to Eggalicious.
Oh. I sent them to Eggalicious.
Is he a shitter fund donator?
I never asked. But imagine the thrill this guy meeting me and Dan Duran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah,
I think that right after we start broadcasting from there, I mean, that might be one thing that you're going to have to deal with. The people dropping by, just wanting to see and hanging around out front.
Oh, yeah.
I hope there's not a Mark David Chapman hanging around out front.
Hey, Humble, will you sign my number 1 in 97 CD?
Pack, 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 pack.
Back, 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 back. That's not them shooting me. That's them, some crazy fucker going back, 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 back.
Nice taint.
Do you want to chew my taint, Humble Howard?
Back, 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 back.
Sign this, Mr. Glassman, please. I really appreciate it.
Back, 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 back. Bang, bang, bang.
Oh. Okay, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I don't want to give anybody any ideas.
No, anyway, seriously, that wouldn't be a bad way to go. Fucking come and shoot
fucking
me.
It'd be quick.
Come and shoot me. I don't get
I think Lennon was dead within 10 minutes. Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't suffer.
No.
No, 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 no,
no. No.
So what else is going on?
Hang on, there'd be like, hang on, there we go. This is funny. Did I just say, yeah, come over and shoot me? You don't hear Aaron Davis saying that. Yeah. Why doesn't this load?
No.
Oh, man.
My computer is not functioning, feng shuiing in this environment.
Mine's it's a different Wi-Fi.
Oh, is it?
Well, yeah, mine's... I'm on the Wi-Fi, Phil.
I'm thrilled with it.
And I'm it's just not working. So this person came by, said hello. Oh, yeah,
nice.
Friday.
Nice.
So... Friday, the show's over. We start breaking the studio down. Dan Duran is running around, and Phil and I and Fred and the movers, and we all got into a rhythm. And then, you know, the whole thing was, you know, we do that, and then we were going to go over to the new place and unpack, and that lasted until you left. I had to go pick up Spencer. At one point, I came back, and you'd gone to Home Depot. And by the way, another tangent. This is what I like about you.
What?
May I say something that I like about you? Are you ready to hear, or are you just full on, everyone hates me?
No, 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 no.
So, you know, if I was to go and run an errand to get some hooks, I would have, I don't know, I'd get a package of hooks, and that would be it. When it came time to put up some things that needed hooking, I looked on this table, and Dan had spread out all the different hooks that Fred had picked up, and there was, I'm not even exaggerating, there were 6 to 8 packages of hooks. And I said, what the fuck's all these hooks for? And he goes, well, you know, Fred, you know, went there and he got some hooks. And how did he put it? He said something about, like, well, you don't want to have to go back. Or,
well, they were $1.99 a pack, and I thought, I'll get various sizes just in case we need them.
So you spread your cheeks.
For the company buck, cheeks.
For $1.99. But there were tons.
So no. And the point is, and I thought, you know, I have that little toolbox. Throw them in there. You never know.
You never
know. Down the road when we might use them.
My point is, that was great. That's the kind of thing you would do, that I, as not being a handy man, or in this environment, a handy person, a handy man, or a handy human.
Right.
So I thought that was really good of you. And you know, Dan may have had the vision, but, you know, like, I wanted it to look a certain way. And I communicated that to our boy Dan. And what I said to him after it was done, I said, you know, we were sitting there looking at it, and I said, this is exactly as I would have liked it. It looks cool. It's functional.
Mm-hmm.
And when you all, you'll know what we're talking about when you see it. But my point is, that was pretty cool that when we came time to need those pieces of tooling, you had gone out and got all the things we needed.
Yes.
It was very impressive.
Well, I just did what I thought I needed to do.
Didn't you want to say, Something about maybe you should take a class at Man World.
Yeah. Although another thing that's got to be done in the next week or so,
you know, like hook your taint or anything like that.
No,
this which I'll do. I gotta go back to the old studio and clean it up a bit.
Oh, here we go.
Our life together.
And then Howard was out in front of the studio.
Together.
When a man and his child came over, Howard thought nothing of it. And they said, hey, Humble, we're just wanted to see where the new studio was. And the child went, hi, my daddy listens to your show all the time. And then I think, oh, this is an innocent encounter. And then the kid fucking goes, back, 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 back.
Let's take a chance and fly away.
So we're all in moving mode, is my point. And then at around 11:30, we barely even started, our producer says, well, I got to go. And we're all like, what do you mean you got to go? Go where? Oh, no, I got to pick up Liz and Jen and go to the dentist and, you know, things like that. And we're like, well, huh?
I was going to lay out some hooks and everything.
But we're like, huh? Am I wrong? Were we not like, huh?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I got to go pick up. So, and I sort of said to Phil, I go, Phil, do you not know we're moving today? He's like, oh, yeah, but Jesus. So I just wanted to, you know, bring that up and just, you know, lay it out there.
I had a bit of a monumental day, actually, on Friday after moving.
You knew it was moving day.
Yeah, I dropped off our intern, Linda, who had to go, if you remember.
Well, we could have easily...
Other days she has to go and get leaves on her own.
We could have easily sent her on a bus.
And then picked a Jen up, and then we had to go to my dad's because I had to drop off a $2,000 check.
Yeah, but that could have happened in the evening, couldn't it?
No, he has to go to Vietnam, remember?
When?
Oh, why couldn't you have dropped it off on Thursday?
Did he go to Vietnam that afternoon?
No, well, this week.
So you had to drop it off Friday?
Well, because he has to put it in his bank account and take out the money.
I know, but you saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
So you could have given him the check yesterday, you could have put it in the bank today.
Well, he had a little banquet and everything, and I didn't want to disappoint him.
For sure.
He's 64 years old. He's going to be a retiree in about a year from now, and I just want to spend a little time with my father, that's all.
On our moving day.
No. But no, you didn't spend time with him on Friday. You spent time with him yesterday.
Yeah.
Phil, don't. You're digging deep, brother.
Well, the thing is, I'm trying to be like Sally Jesse Raphael to him at the moment, because he has his own dramas as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all of that.
His wife has a visa issue.
No, the point is, though, it was our moving day, and you knew for some time, so we were just surprised you didn't sort of put that day aside for. That's all. You know.
But I get it. Now that you've explained it, I get it. Now that you've said that you needed to go and drop off a check for your father and drive Linda home, well, I get it, man. That's cool. I just was curious because at 11:30, Phil goes, well, I'm going to go now. We're like, what? We're going where? I got to go. I got to pick up Liz and Jen and go to the dentist. And
you should send Dan Duran a nice note because he reassembled your desk on
He unassembled
site.
It.
So we get down the stairs.
Yeah, because it would needed to be. Mm. We had to undissembled the desk and then reassembled.
Carried it down. I think, did you even help him carry it down?
No, the movers did.
Oh, because I was going to say all of it. I couldn't believe it. He's in the garage 1 second. And then I went back out to see what progress he had made, and it was gone. Like, almost instantly. And then I went downstairs and helped him reassemble the thing.
Oh, I know.
The whole time I'm thinking, you know, Phil should be doing this, not me. It's his desk.
I don't know how to assemble desks. If you remember when we moved to the last studio, we had an intern do it, but he was a carpenter.
No, but I didn't either.
I was a carpenter.
Phil, I'm the same way, but I helped Dan Duran. I held the various pieces. It's just the next time we move, just keep this in mind.
So, I don't want to get off. I don't want to belabor this point, but just that we were, you know, that moving day was on the calendar for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. And his leaving day was on the calendar longer. By about a couple months.
Yeah, but his leaving day isn't for a couple weeks.
Well, the thing is that we had time for that then, and I'm going to have time today to unpack the office, and life is good. What else is there to say? I do apologize.
Well, there's lots to say, actually.
For going too early, but...
Well, no, but you're... I mean, if you said, hey, guys, I can't help you move today because, you know, I need to be there.
Hey, I can't help you.
I can't help you.
I did bring in slave labor the last time we moved. Do you remember Liz and Jen came last time?
Yes, we do.
Liz wanted to volunteer, but I said, well, our interns are going to show up. We'll be all right.
Yes, we couldn't
have. And then, of course, Linda showed up.
Done it without Jen.
No, it's...
Again,
you just provided another great content opportunity, Phil, is what you provided.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hand me a hook. I'll get my taint.
All right.
Okay, Phil.
So, well, now that we're all finished that uncomfortable encounter, let's move on to some other fun stuff. Anyway, we're very excited to have, I don't know how many people we can accommodate on Friday. I mean, if 10 or 15 show up or 20, that'd be cool. It's going to be pretty jammed. The overflow will be down in the office, which, by the way, is so comfortable. You know, at one point, you know what it's like when you're doing a project. There's moments when you're very busy, and we were very sort of troubleshooting. And there's times you sort of just take a break. And I sat in the office yesterday at some point having a coffee with Dan about 9:30, 10:00, and it's a very comfortable space. The bathroom couldn't be nicer.
Lovely.
It really is, you know, other than a couple.
See the way that bitch flushes? It's crazy. Well,
it's a macerating.
It would never leave any
your duty. Any duty.
And then it takes it in, and then you can hear it mushing
it up. It's a macerating toilet. Now, you know, Phil and you other ladies, you can't put your girl things down there. You can't put your maxi pads and things. And...
Why would you? Could you do that in normal toilets?
You probably shouldn't.
Well, then why? Okay.
I'm just saying as a warning. But
the way this thing sounds, it sounds like it has the teeth to go right through one of those in a second.
Oh, yeah.
But it's crazy because you flush it, and then after you flush it, it makes this noise where
you can hear the motors grinding.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. To the best of my knowledge, no one has dropped a deuce in it yet. So here's where we're at. I think we should have a contest or a draw to see who gets to shit in it for the first time. Because right now, there's only been peas. And I even took a little paper towel, and I cleaned up some of the drippage on the toilet. Because somebody wasn't too thorough, and they dribbled some of their whiz.
Oh, it wasn't you?
No, it wasn't me. Although I probably peed in there more than anybody. But I went in there. So how do we determine who gets to poo in it for the first time?
I can withdraw from that contest if you want, because I'm really self-conscious when it comes to that.
Well, I don't mean us.
Oh.
I'm talking about listeners.
Oh, listeners.
Yeah. Oh. You get to come over and have a poo.
I would think by necessity, Phil would have to go first.
Yeah, probably.
I'm intentionally holding it in for one of our listeners to shit.
Yeah. Well, I see what you're saying. Like, it should be like a contest amongst our staff.
Yeah, I would. I thought we should get Amanda to do it first.
Amanda Barker.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool. Let's do it. But Phil's probably, what are you going to do? Where do you, I guess he's going to have to take a shit in my house. He's going to have to go up to the second floor and have a second floor duty.
Or have you already gone, Phil?
No, I haven't before. No.
You haven't used it already?
No, not yet, no. I haven't even touched it, actually. That's how important to me it was.
It's a nice washroom, and I'm really excited. Maybe this afternoon, Howard and I are going to go over to IKEA and walk around the aisles and look for all the appointments.
Yeah, and by Howard and I, you mean you.
Bring all the Allen keys side by side.
I think we should go as a couple.
I think, okay. You know what? For the bit's sake, sure, let's go together. And you know what?
People will think, oh, look at those middle-aged gay men.
That's right.
They must have got a place together.
No, they're sharing their meatballs.
Here's what they'll think. Look at that middle-aged gay man and his Jewish friend.
I didn't know the Jews had gays.
Whoa. You didn't like that little burn? Who's that little middle-aged gay man in a fucking Super Bowl jersey? Listen, if you want me to come over with you to help you pick out curios and things, we need soap, we need a soap, I have a soap dish, we need a toilet paper holder.
You know what? IKEA's close. Doll loves it. Coming today. I'll get her to come on site, look around, then send her.
Yes!
And she'll love it, every minute of it. Love it every minute of it. Yeah, she will.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Because the thing is, she said, should I come down today? I said, of course. She says, I won't get in the way. No, I could phone her today and say, listen, we have a project for you.
She can project manage.
She could probably go to Homestead because there's no toilet paper thing built into the wall. So there's these freestanding ones that.
Yeah, I have one upstairs.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Well, no, not a roll. I don't have a roll one.
No, this one where you can roll it off.
Yeah, we need a roller. Right. Okay.
So she'd probably find one of those at HomeSense. She would love getting the waste paper basket.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look how happy you are.
No, I am because I don't like, you know, IKEA is a place that I can do without. That's all.
Although if we go together, we should just hold hands while we stroll while we stroll the aisles.
And then look at people and go, don't judge.
Don't judge us. People.
Don't judge.
I know we're ugly, but we're ugly gay men. It happens.
But we make beautiful love together.
Exactly. Yeah,
we're a Netflix series.
You want to see me chew this dolly's taint? I'll chew this dolly's taint right here in bedwear.
That's what I call my wife, Dolly. Watch it.
Sorry, right. Okay. Sorry.
Some people actually call her Dolly.
I'll have to come up with a different nickname for you, my gay woman.
Bobby.
My gay married. Wow, this show has taken a real fucking turn.
Okay, when are we going to talk about the issues of the day?
No, I'll tell you what we're talking about now. People call her pizza, pizza when they're hungry, hungry for the very, very best of pizza.
It's the Joey Bat Special. The Blue Jays are still alive, and you can take advantage at Pizza Pizza with the Joey Bat Special. A large pizza with any three gourmet toppings and three cans of Coca-Cola for just $13.99. Hot and fresh only at Pizza Pizza, the Joey Bat Special.
Yeah, man. Squatty potty, you're the one. You make poop time oh so fun. Squatty potty, I'm awfully fond of you. Squatty potty, I'm awfully. So, we have ourselves a predicament.
The old prospector.
Yes. we got ourselves a predicament. We have, we thought we'd get, I don't know, 10 donors over $100.
Yeah.
And for our crowdfund, the Shitter Fund. And we are up to what, 38?
Oh, I think it's 40 now.
So we've offered this. We said, listen, for everyone who donates $100, we'll give you a squatty potty. And I said,
Never dreaming.
So I sent an order in a week ago. I got to check on it today for 30 of them. So now I may have to go back and go, hey, could you maybe bum me some more squatty potties? You know, get it, bum. Forget it. Did you guys ever use that phrase? Like bum a cigarette?
Bum me. Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Can I bum a dart?
Can I bum a dart?
Yeah.
So can I bum a bum seat? Can I bum a... So I'm going to have to call them. The woman I deal with is Morgan. She's Bobby Edwards' assistant. And I'm going to say, Morgan, is it possible that we can bum another 10? Or...
The only sad thing is that's 40 less that are going to be sold.
Well, or we could just buy them and make it look like, oh, Humble and Fred, they're doing so good for us. Anyway, Squatty Potty.
I have to figure something out.
We are, obviously we recommend it. In fact, it's funny because I think there was a picture on Facebook. Either I put it up or you did of the bathroom and someone commented, where's the Squatty Potty?
Mm-hmm.
We got to have one in there like minimum.
Of course.
We got to buy one this week.
Yeah.
For sure, because we're not going to get the shipment. The point is, we recommend it. It will make you feel so much better. You will loosen up whatever's lodged in there, and the rest of your life will just be a soft ice cream unicorn dream. Unkink your colon. Squatty Potty available at Canadian Tire. Also, yeah, for sure, Canadian Tire, Amazon.ca, Bed Bath & Beyond, and you can go to SquattyPotty.com and find out more details. So, let me see. Is my computer still frozen? Yes, it is. Hang on a second, Kyle. I might need you to hit me some music here in a minute. Because my computer seems to be not really enjoying this environment. Oh, here we go. All right, here we go. So, you talked about Joey Bats, one of the big stories on the weekend. The Blue Jays. You know, you think statistically they had nice pitching. And... you know, just didn't, as you said to me on the phone, their bats went quiet. Same thing happened in the ALCS last year. And we'll determine their ability to bounce back. It's Humble and Fred Radio as well. We'll talk about a presidential candidate who actually has got to stop tweeting people. Like, it's absurd. That and so much more. As well, an explanation from Gord Downie's lips on why he and the band kiss other men on the lips. It's Humble and Fred Radio, around North America, live from Sirius XM.
Hey, fans of comedy. Hey, fans of WWE. Hey, fans of politics. Hey, fans of the legalization of marijuana. Hey, fans of being able to speak and say whatever you want. Fans of being genuine and real. Make sure you tune in at 4 p.m. I don't know how they do it. Because we have wrestlers Santino Marella, Anthony Carelli of the WWE, and former wrestler and governor, former governor too, Jesse the Body, Vince, not the body so much anymore, but the Ventura. It's all going down at 4 p.m. on the Todd Shapiro Show. I lost my voice. Enjoy it. Hopefully I have it back then.
Most warranties feel like this. But Mitsubishi's 10-year powertrain limited warranty is more like this. In that time, all your breakups could sound like this. All your selfies could sound like this. The toes you'll stub will sound like this. And the only other warranty that compares is this. Get to know Mitsubishi's unrivaled 10-year powertrain limited warranty and see what 10 years could mean to you. Mitsubishi. Built better. Back better.
Hi, it's Pat Finelli from Pizza Pizza here with our friend Jose Batista. Right now, order the Joey Bat Special, a large pizza with any three toppings like chicken, roasted red pepper, and spinach, plus three free cans of Coke for just $13.99. Upsized extra large for just $3 more. So what do you think, Joey?
Now that's a home run. Tell him Joey Bat sent you.
9671111, order pizzapizza.ca.
Each franchise, independently owned and operated, offer good on selected product at participating franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
The motorization event is happening now at Budget Blinds, Canada's number one choice for window coverings. Budget Blinds has the most cutting-edge, kid-friendly motorized window coverings available. And right now, you can get a rebate up to $500 when you purchase motorized Signature Series window coverings powered by Somfy. Budget Blinds measures, installs, and gives you a free in-home design consultation. Call your local Budget Blinds today and save. Call 1-866-444-5502. That's 1-866-444-5502.
Sirius XM NHL Network Radio brings you every team, every game, all season long. Want to know where you can hear your team? Click to SiriusXMNHL.com. Stay up to date with your team's schedule, what channel, what time, at SiriusXMNHL.com. SiriusXM NHL Network Radio keeps you connected. Follow us on Twitter, connect on Facebook, and keep up to date at SiriusXMNHL.com.
This is Humble and Fred.
On LinkedIn, are you on LinkedIn?
Oh, yes, I am.
Are you, Linda?
Yeah.
Okay. I am. I don't really use it very much, but the last week or so, I've been getting dozens of messages because I guess on my LinkedIn profile, it says October 2011, and LinkedIn is now alerting all the LinkedIn friends. What are people called in LinkedIn?
I guess the links. Ooh. The connections, yes.
All the LinkedIn connections that I'm part of the Humble and Fred Show, and we're having an anniversary.
Cool. I'm part of that, too, but I haven't received those yet.
Well, I got one yesterday from Jesse Dillon.
Really?
Man, the great Jesse Dillon.
And what did it say?
Just said, hey, way to go, guys.
Jesse did that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I guess to a lot of people doing...
He's a millionaire.
Yeah, he doesn't need us.
No.
He's a millionaire.
He's more than
for us.
You seen his fucking house in Vancouver?
I know.
It's like what?
Everyone.
What do you get into? Supplements or something? Or
yeah, vitamins.
Vitamins.
Why and aren't then, we in vitamins?
Then he had a little show to support it, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Anyway, he sent us a nice note. As have a lot of people, actually, which is pretty cool. And the reason I bring it up is we're sort of, you know, again, waxing nostalgic.
This is Sophie Buttle, and you're listening to Canada Laughs.
Mm-hmm.
listen to our thoughts.
It's Humble and Fred Radio as we are getting ready to open our brand new studio.
Cast in a golden light.
956 The Queen's Way is the new address. You know, when you think about it, I mean, we seem to take this for granted, but it is pretty cool. Like, we work for SiriusXM, but in a way that's different than when we used to work for terrestrial radio stations. I mean, we're here, we're happy to be in downtown Toronto, looking out the window on Liberty Street, the home of SiriusXM Toronto, where we normally, we're sort of broadcasting remotely. We've been in our own studio, and then, I'm not sure if you heard, Phil, we moved on Friday. Anyway, but we're opening up our new storefront studio this Friday. Hopefully it all goes well. October 21st, we'll mock another day in Humble and Fred Broadcasting. And I'm looking forward to it. I think you're pretty excited. It's going to be kind of neat. We're going to be basically sort of broadcasting on the street of West Toronto.
It's going to be great. And the Friday, we have a lot of people. They can act. What's the forecast for Friday? We might have, like, a gathering on the street. Maybe we should invite some buskers. Get people to come and busk right on the street there. Don't you think that'd be neat?
Yes, I do. I'm just looking
up. And then while we're talking, you can hear the music in the
background.
I'm
looking up the forecast on my computer from the 1990s. That's how slow it's loading.
Well, it's going to be 13 degrees on Friday.
Is it?
Nice and sunny, a little cloud.
I got here. My forecast for Friday says showers, cloudy with showers, 14. So I don't know about that. No. Are you looking at the Chinese weather network?
Yeah, AccuWeather. Yeah.
All right.
American Chinese.
I know tomorrow is going to be 27 degrees here in Toronto, which is for you Americans, 27.54. Like in the high 80s. With the humidity, it'll feel almost like, you know, early 90s tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
It's crazy. And, you know, and it's every day we get like that is one less day.
Yeah.
A fallen winter.
Here we go.
It's true, though.
I know.
What
you
know,
okay
what,
over there?
What if it was an early? What if it was an early? You know, what if fall came early?
Sure,
but I just to lengthen the. I'm trying to avoid where you're going.
What, you half burped into the microphone? Yeah. You were like,
not a full burp like you a couple of weeks ago.
But it was
full on burp.
Oh, okay.
Leaned in and let it go.
I didn't mean for this to be a sensitive issue.
Mine was a little inadvertent, dainty little burp.
Oh, it was. You're just, you know what? You're just so much more refined than I am. So
anyway,
let's get started. I played a little Tragically Hip there. If you want the full CBC interview with Gord Downie, is up and available. You can find it online. I watched about three quarters of it last night. Very interesting. You can see he's had two surgeries, a round of chemo. He has multiple MRIs, meaning that I get the impression from listening to the interview with Peter Mansbridge that he's getting like regular weekly MRIs to see what the progress of the tumor is. And you had told me.
For what reason?
To
you know,
gauge.
It's inevitable. You know what I mean? I wonder why they do that.
Because maybe maybe it's a type of thing where, you know, maybe it's not as imminent as we all thought it was when they announced the tour in the spring. Maybe he's got a couple years left.
Well, to look at him, I wouldn't think so. And, you know, in that one point where Peter says to him, you know, are you all right with where this is obviously going? And his answer there, that's to think, you know, when you know what your end date is, you know, loosely. It's,
sure.
It's got to be devastating.
Well, 100%. I mean, you know, then what do you do? I mean, there's so, like listening to him talk, he seems stronger than when I saw that 2-minute clip they put out a couple days ago. But over the course of the interview, he seems stronger than I expected him to be. Mm-hmm. Plus, they kept cutting to him. He was there and there. He's got a downtown Toronto rehearsal studio. And he was rehearsing with his band with some, not the Tragically Hip, but some guys playing. Mm-hmm. And he seems strong enough singing.
Yeah. The problem is, or the concern is, you know, that segment when he said he had to write Peter on his hand to remember who Peter Mansbridge was.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes he has trouble with the names of his kids.
Yeah. That's not good.
It's well on its way.
Mm-hmm. A couple times during the interview. But you know what? He's a 52-year-old guy. As a 56-year-old guy, you know, there were moments he was in the middle of a story answering a question, and then he actually sort of stopped. Anyone else see it, by the way? So he kind of stops and goes, what was your question again?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know it's because of the brain tumor, but it's not, like, way out of the ordinary for a guy in his 50s to lose his train of thought.
Mm-hmm. I mean, while being interviewed by Peter Mansbridge on The National? It's a bit, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
But I'm just saying, it's a bit disturbing from the, like,
oh, yeah.
If you were being interviewed by Peter Mansbridge, you wouldn't have to write Peter on your hand.
I know that. What I'm trying to say is it wasn't like he was drooling and couldn't remember anything. He only had a couple of moments in the middle of a long sort of explanation.
I wasn't aware that a brain tumor made you drool.
It does.
Oh, yeah, it does. Eh?
Yeah,
okay.
Fucking A, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Pete like, could have just dabbed
his Gordani drool. Yeah. A lot of brain tumors. Your face slide. It looks like it's sliding off your skull. How do you not know that?
I've just learned something about drool and brain.
That's why you're at the Home Depot on Saturday mornings. I'm studying the human condition.
But it's
that's right.
It's a sad story. It's like, you know, in a way, it's like the Rob Ford thing. It was like all the attention Rob Ford got, and then he dies, and it's like Gord Downie, this beloved Canadian musical icon. It's just you don't expect it, and it's like now he's going. I mean, that's a loose comparison, but you know what I mean? It's like people of profile that long before their time, you don't expect it. And I mean, really.
Well, the thing about people of profile is that there's lots of people in the regular world that go before their time.
My son,
we just don't know about it.
Here's the thing, and maybe we'll put it up on Facebook. My son showed me this 2-minute promo commercial / whatever that Sick Kids has released. You want to talk about what people go through on a day-to-day basis, and I'll tell you, nothing's worse than, you know, having a kid who is terminally ill and has no idea. Listen, an adult knows when they're terminally ill. A child doesn't. And there's just some scenes in this thing about the great work they do there. I don't know how I got on this other than what you said about there's lots of people that go through that without profile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this, I'll put it up on Facebook because it's just amazing. It makes you just want to empty your pockets for Sick Kids Hospital.
You do?
Yeah. That's how powerful it is.
Wow.
That
must be pretty powerful.
Because
we sat there for 15 minutes while you debated with the meter this morning about how much we would spend, 12, 25, or 12. Oh, yeah, we did it 3 fucking times on the for a quarter.
I just compared. Mm. It just so happened to be that. I didn't know that it was going to be that going in. I just wanted to make sure we were doing the right thing.
No, and so it must be. Mm-hmm. Imagine how powerful a video would have to be.
I'd empty my pockets for Sick Kids. I'm sure they could put the lint to good use.
That's right. Here's what? Sick Kids. Have some air. Here's some Fred air. We sat there at the pay thing.
But that's...
Wait a minute. Okay, fine. Sorry.
No, go ahead and tell the story.
No.
But you don't appreciate what I was doing.
I had a bit root planned, but you want a bit stump. You want to steamroll a bit. You want to lick a taint's bit. Bit's taint.
No, go ahead.
When I arrived on scene this morning, my partner and dear friend was negotiating with the meter. And I said, what's going on? He goes, well, I can't figure out. So it's 7 a.m. and he gets $12.50, but it's $15 for the full day. And then so he was like about to hit pay, and then he was checking it out. And then he stopped and canceled it and started again. Then he tried it. What if I do this? And it's like there was a difference between $12 and I think $12.75.
I know, but if I didn't own that going in, I could see how you could stomp all over me. But I had to do that process to find out that it was similar price.
No, I'm not stomping. I'm pointing out. I'm observing.
Said I was negotiating with a machine.
You were. It was funny to me because, like, I'm like so like whatever. Here's $14. You know, let's just get in there. I'm a boy. My boy's negotiating with the machine. Mm-hmm. On the third try, we finally found our price point. Now, if that machine had a heartwarming video, he would have given money right away, though.
Like, it doesn't start charging you till 7 a.m., right? Yeah.
Kyle is here, everybody. Oh, Kyle.
It's a big problem, that thing, because we get here at 6 a.m., but they have like a discounted rate from 9 to whatever.
Right overnight, right.
Yeah, so like the half an hour rate is like $2 half an hour. But so I get here, and I usually don't pay until your show's over. And then I go pay like the discounted rate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you basically...
It's like, I get what Fred is negotiating.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with him on that.
Are you?
For that, I am, yeah.
For what? For 75 cents?
No, but for not wanting to pay the ridiculous, like, before 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my... The thing is, I had to go through that process to make sure that we weren't going to be super overcharged. And through the process showed me one way or the other, it's not going to be much of a difference, so we're okay.
Yeah.
That was the extent of it.
No, I know. I'm just trying to make a bit out of it. You know, just trying to have a little fun. Sorry, you guys. I thought we were still doing a comedy-based fucking program. It's not a debate. This isn't a debate. Back to you, Kyle, though. So you're saying you don't pay from 6 to 9.
Yeah.
So you basically go commando. You go, your balls are just out there.
There's a big window right in front of us, which faces the parking lot.
Yes,
and during your show, I'll stand up and I'll just like...
Survey.
I'll just survey the yellow parking enforcement vests. Sure.
You know, it's funny. This is the first time I think we've ever had Kyle and Idris in the same room together. They're both swarthy Middle Easterns. We should have a contest to see, send you guys to Pearson, see who gets pulled over first.
It would definitely
pulls
be
out of the line. No, I think. Listen, you're what are you, Leb?
Afghan.
We got a swarthy Middle Eastern Jew here. I think the two of you, neither of you get through is my prediction.
I just flew.
And
the customs officers, for some reason, let me right in. But I always look at the other passengers on the plane because I flew alone. And I can see a lot of them.
They're concerned.
Whoever I'm sitting beside, I can see is like, oh, shit. Like, who's this guy beside me? Because
what lucka have I pulled?
Yeah.
And did you ever get pulled out of line?
Not really. I don't really travel much, though.
Well, yeah. Because you got work to do.
No, but basically, you know what? You don't have the beard and all that. You don't have the flags.
Not for lack of trying.
You
I can't grow one like Kyle.
By the way, who runs this parking out here? Is it In Park or Green Pea or whatever?
It's Green Pea.
Green Pea parking's for you.
You know the tickets they give you, you can ignore. Yeah.
No, you can't. Does
the City of Toronto give them?
Yes. Sometimes you'll get a Green Pea. It's like...
ignore it.
It's like a $10...
Hold on a second. Why do you say ignore it?
Because they're not... It has no effect on renewing your license. They might send it to agency, but they give up.
Fred's right. It says on the ticket, courtesy ticket or something like that.
Courtesy ticket.
But then the City of Toronto does come by every once in a while.
Well, if the City of Toronto comes by once in a while, which I'm surprised they would, a private lot. But if they do, then you obviously have to pay it. But if you get one of those parking lot tickets.
So what are you saying for
tomorrow? Wipe your ass with it.
We're not going to pay at all?
What are you talking about?
Well, you're
already paid.
No, but tomorrow we're not going to pay.
No, I'd rather just pay.
Okay.
You know why?
No.
Because... We run a business, right?
Yes, sir.
Do we like to get paid?
Yes, sir.
The parking lot, they're running a business.
Okay.
Don't they like to get paid?
All right. I didn't know where we were landing on this.
No, I'm just... Seriously,
I didn't know
that's
if we were criminals. Yeah. What the hell we're doing. Hi, Kayla. What's that? Someone's pointing at me.
I think your guests are here.
Well, can you, guys go and figure that out? Because it seems to have... I don't want to cause any trouble while we're here. Can we not cause trouble?
What time are our guests supposed to be?
8:20.
We've dealt with nothing in the news today.
Well, we are. We're going to get to the Blue Jays. We're going to get to Trump. I just want to finish this thing about Gord Downie.
Oh, right. Yes. Gordy?
So, Gord, there was this moment in the last concert on CBC, and the band's backstage before the concert, and Gord goes around to each band member and hugs them and kisses them on the lips.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a cool hashtag that started to trend. Barker, our producer, was the first I saw that said, in Canada, we kiss on the lips. And, you know, it was kind of an interesting curiosity, wondering where that came from. And, you know, was that a thing they had sort of adopted because Gord's dying? And he explained last night that his father is where he got that from. He said his father, I can't remember his dad's name, used to hug and kiss people on the lips. And he said, my brother and I have introduced a whole generation of men to that. And I thought, isn't that an interesting because of his father wanting to have connection with people, Gord carries that tradition on. Now, I don't think that's for everybody.
No.
But I thought it was an interesting comment from a kid from Kingston.
Traditionally, though, for most people in this country, that would be a little unsettling.
Even in parts of the country like Quebec, where almost everybody greets each other, men and women, by kissing them on the cheek.
But listen, I wouldn't greet a woman and kiss her on the lips.
Right.
So another man, and again, whether that's right or wrong, but where we come from, tradition in this country, the way we are, that is pretty startling.
Yeah.
Listen, if Gord Downie kissed me on the lips, it'd be, whoa, that was weird, but it's fine. But it's like, wow, I didn't expect that.
What
or if you kissed me on the
lips. What if I, because I hug you once in a while.
No, I know. And I kiss my son, but on the neck and the cheek and everything, but I don't kiss her on the lips.
I don't kiss my daughters on the lips.
Yeah.
Once in a while, as a joke, I'll go do the little daddy on the cheek thing, and I'll go and kiss them like as they come over, like give them a little kiss. But I don't even greet them. I saw them both last night. I give them big hugs and kisses on the cheek.
And even good female friends that I have, I don't kiss them on the lips.
But I thought that was a nice explanation that it comes from his dad, and he just soldiers through, man.
And you know, I guess because he's Gord Downie, he would have some kind of a license. Where people go, hey, Gord Downie kissed me on the lips. But if Joe fucking Blow kissed me on the lips, I'd probably walk away going, what the fuck is that?
Who's Joe Blow? Like, I'd be like, I'd have two questions. How's that guy's name fucking Joe Blow? And now he just kissed me on the lips.
But I love Gord Downie. I love Gord Downie, but I'm not sure I want him to kiss me on the lips.
Especially now. I don't want to be catching anything, you know.
Well, some of the, you know.
That's a joke that you can't catch a tumor by kissing.
No, but I'll tell you something. A lot of those chemo drugs, if you're on them, they tell you not to kiss.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, for whatever reason. Yeah.
So what news stories would you like to begin with? The Blue Jays? Is that a news story in your mind?
Oh, just this story about the guy in Toronto that they're going to file in some kind of an injunction in Superior Court or something to prevent the Cleveland Indians from wearing their sweaters and showing their caricature tonight on television.
But Frederick, actually, now that I remember this, just back up a little second. So I knew why I brought up Gord Downie, because there's a tie-in to that.
Gord Downie's
project is called the PATH Project or something like that. And Gord's whole thing now is to raise awareness for the treatment of our Aboriginal children.
Right.
And, you know, and again, it's a discussion for a different day, but it really is one of those things we Canadians, as he says, we don't like to talk about it. We don't even like to think about it. Most of us never do. And he's right.
Absolutely.
And it's really one of those things where if we examined it, we'd probably be kind of ashamed of ourselves.
Listen, he's dead on. And the thing is, all we've ever done is throw money at it and it's never worked.
You know, and growing up in Western Canada, I think, you know, I don't know versus your in Scarborough or whatever, but I was around a lot of native Canadians.
None.
Tons.
Well, I shouldn't say that. No. Even up in Burley Falls, north of Peterborough, where the trailer is, when I was a kid, there was a lot of native people up there.
Okay.
Not so much anymore.
But with the city I grew up in, the area I grew up in, so many, and then, of course, northern Saskatchewan. My point is that, you know, Gord Downie, in his last minutes of his life, is bringing attention to something. And as he said on stage that night, it's going to take 100 years, but at some point, we're going to have to figure out what's going on up there. And as he said in the interview, wouldn't it be great if we Canadians could find a way to sort of reunite with our other Canadians? Because they're Canadians. You know, and let's be honest, if they were white Canadians, we wouldn't allow them to live in the way they live. So I thought that might be a tie-in to this story, as you mentioned, of a guy who's trying to prevent.
Douglas Cardinal wants the Ontario Superior Court and two human rights tribunals to ban Cleveland from using the word Indians and from using their Chief Wahoo logo on the jerseys and cap. He'll ask the court to ban the use of the name and logo by Major League Baseball, Rogers Communications, who owns the Blue Jays, and the television network, which shows the games. It says the team logo and name are based on outdated offensive stereotypes. The ban would not force the team to actually change their name or logo, but it would prevent them from using it when they play in Ontario. To me, it's like, why now? And I guess it's for attention.
I think if you look in history, You know, there are why now moments all through history, you know?
But getting back to the Gord Downie thing, this is a Canadian guy. And he'd be so concerned about this. What about the Edmonton Eskimos? Here's another indication where Canadians, we tend to be so smug in the way the Americans treat black people. Meanwhile, we have this...
Absolutely.
This native thing going on here in Canada. So now he's jumping all over the... What about the... Google Eskimos. It's Inuit of Canada. It's mm-hmm. the same thing. It's like calling the Cleveland Indians the Edmonton... There's no difference. So here we have it in our own country, a traditional thing, and that's gone literally untouched. People want to talk about the Braves. They want to talk about the Indians. They want to talk about the Chiefs. What about the Eskimos right here in Canada?
I'm cool. Listen, we don't have any problem naming them Rough Riders. We'll call them Rough Riders, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a CFL tradition.
So that's why I say why now. Obviously, it's...
Because it's American. I know, and I think
but
the
it's
why...
it's an American thing.
But it's the... But he's... This is the why now answer, because right. here it is. There's only four teams left in the World Series playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball, so why now? And because he thinks he has a chance to get some attention.
Edmonton Eskimos were in the Grey Cup last year. They won it. Yeah.
How'd the Eskimos feel about that?
Yeah, not one person ever mentioned the Eskimos thing.
Maybe.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. May I ask this question? Very good points, Fred Patterson. Question. Is it because Eskimo is not a derogatory term?
Is Indians?
I don't know. I'm only asking that. Like,
and again,
it's because they're an actual people, the Eskimos.
Well, so are Indians.
But I'm asking you. Maybe that it's not like they're not Eskimos portrayed on their jersey. It's not some guy in a toque with a blubber on a stick. Which is, by the way, damn tasty. I recommend, if you're at the exhibition in Edmonton, try blubber on a stick.
To the Eskimos' credit, I think years ago, I think there was some kind of a mascot maybe that was eventually eliminated. But, you know, the definitive answer to, you know, I've often thought about that. If a kid's at school and then, you know, they're told at school, don't. Like, it might happen right now. If a kid's at school and says Cleveland Indians and the teacher says, oh, you shouldn't say that. What's a kid's response? Like, why? Is Indian a bad thing? You know what I mean? Where does that go and where does it come from? It's like when that team was named, and again, I know this isn't a valid argument anymore, but when it was first named, it was all done with the best of intentions. Unity, bravery. Nobody names a dog, a cat, a child without... naming them to feel good or with...
Well, no, you're right. The intention of having your sports team's nickname be the Braves, the Redskins are the ones it's hard to defend.
Yes.
Like I can defend, and I don't have any skin. I don't have any red skin in the game.
No, I agree.
But that one's hard to defend.
Right.
But if you call your team the Braves, you're doing it for, as you mentioned, because it means fighting spirit, warrior, all attributes of a positive nature. Same with the Indians. I mean, the Indians, again, it's hard to... I don't really find anything wrong with it because it's just... They're Indians. Now they don't... So that, but they would argue, well, we don't call ourselves Indians anymore. It's like saying to somebody, you're colored. That's the argument.
No, I agree.
The Redskins are indefensible.
Yes. But I told you, did I tell you this the other day? The Washington Post, this is a newspaper which is somewhat, I think, left-leaning.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a liberal.
They did a cross-America survey of indigenous people.
Indigenous.
And it came back overwhelming. They didn't care. They just did not care. And again... So then you can, is that valid and was it skewed or was it?
Well, you don't know. I mean.
Well, you don't know. But often, you know, I tend to be a skeptic, but I often look at the source and I think if the Washington Post did this, they would be the first to want to be all over this thing.
Fair enough.
And they're not.
But I still don't think you can defend it.
Oh, no.
Because here's the thing.
The only defense you have is it was done at a time when we weren't as sensitive.
Right.
That's the extent of it.
And maybe that survey is right or maybe it's not. I'm not saying one way or t'other. I'm just saying that it's like maybe if you said to me, hey, do you mind if people call you a kike? And I say, well, I don't, because I grew up in Moose Jaw. I really was never, I was never introduced or exposed to anti-Semitic behavior. But as a grown man of some sensitivity, I would say, you know, you probably shouldn't call your team the New York Kikes. I don't mind.
But myself. That's derogatory, though.
Well, so is the Redskins derogatory. Right, right. I'm saying, Washington Post survey aside, it's just not, it seems out of old-fashioned and antiquated and a little bit insensitive.
I agree.
And that's all I'm saying. The Braves and the Indians, again, it's not, maybe the argument is that people don't call them Indians anymore. And the Eskimo one is a great one, except that Eskimo isn't a derogatory term. And it's still our
well, how do you know, though?
Well, I'm asking,
maybe don't want to be called Eskimos anymore.
Should they?
So, we rub our noses together instead of kissing. And you know what I mean?
They?
Well, I know, traditionally that
Again,
was,
I know.
Oh, give me an Eskimo kiss.
Yes.
I don't think Eskimo isn't used as a term anymore, any more than Indians.
For sure. And like when, you know, the old, hey, give me a, kiss me like a kike, and then while you're rubbing noses, I grab your wallet. Did you like that?
Yes.
Just, I came up with that just like that. Kyle, did that offend you? Are we offended by that?
Nothing offends me.
Listen, Kyle's a man of Judaism like myself.
You know, in the past week, there was a comparison, and there was even a graphic to go along with it. It said the New York Jews.
Yes.
The San Francisco Chinaman.
Yes.
Is no different than the Cleveland Indians, which is true. But the thing is, when they chose the Indians, it was, again, it was with pride and the best of intentions. You know, the San Francisco Chinaman, that really doesn't sort of fit into that
but
category.
But the argument is we don't refer to them as Chinaman anymore.
No.
So the same way we don't refer to them as Indians
anymore. No, but I don't think anybody ever would have called a San Francisco team the Chinaman.
Yeah, but the point is you've made their point for them.
Yeah.
People don't call them that anymore.
Right.
So calling them the Braves and the Indians, even if it was the best of intentions, it's no longer valid. So this guy, Cardinal, is trying, what he's trying to do today, and there's only two things that can happen. Either the judge, it's a very quick process. And the reason that, and I heard it explained this morning, the reason that he got the hearing so quickly is because it has an urgency to the to the topic. I'm not saying that right, but there's, because it's happening now, they don't put it off for months. It's relevant and it's urgent to today. So he'll either get not thrown out, but they'll either say, no, we're not going to hold this injunction up. Or he could decide today in a courtroom in Toronto that the Cleveland Indians are not allowed to take the field with the logo exposed or to call themselves the Indians.
See, I don't know how it could ever come to that, because how are they going to decide in the court today whether that it's offensive? It would have to be deferred, or there would have to be more research. You know what I mean?
I would think what you said is right, but what I heard was he might actually be able to make a ruling today, and I thought that seemed odd.
Well, we're just going to look like idiots.
Are we?
Yeah. It's just,
I don't know.
Because this needs more time. You know, this has been a 25-year campaign that has never gained any steam. And you look at, when I use the, almost overnight, Black Lives Matter, you know what I mean, gained the strength and this momentum and this. For 25 years we were talking about this, and we've never really had, and I use this term lightly and loosely, an uprising from the Native population to get behind this. It's just never happened.
Well, I mean, I know it's never happened, but, you know, here's a guy who's got the money and he's got the wherewithal, and that a lot of natives who might uprise don't have the wherewithal or the money to,
they can protest. You know, every year at the Cleveland Indians home openers, there's about 25 people, and it's never gained strength, and it's never added to the numbers, and
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I can see both sides, to be honest with you. I can. I can see that you're saying, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's just a sports team.
No, I get it now. And nowadays, you would never dream of calling your team the Indians.
No, I know.
So we're sort of in this vacuum.
The reason I was a Boston Bruins fan as a kid, but my favorite uniforms, and I've said it a million times, the Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because the Moose Jaw Canucks, a tier two junior team, before we had a WHL team, major junior, for years were the Moose Jaw Canucks, and they were in the farm system of the Blackhawks, and they had those cool uniforms. I love them. But they have an Indian head with a headdress on on their jerseys.
And why is that bad? That's the history.
It's the same. I know, but it would be the same if a team had a bunch of Jew-looking guys with the caps on and the beards. It just would to them.
Oh, no, I...
You would never do it now is my point.
You would never do it now.
No. But for years, that the Chicago Blackhawks iconic
still
jersey...
Still reputed to be the number one jersey in
absolutely
hockey.
And I used to love it. It was like it was a dream as a young boy that I could get onto the Canuck midget team so that I could also have the Blackhawks jersey.
But I'm just playing a bit of it. So if I said to the Chicago Blackhawks this handsome, beautiful uniform and said that image on the front, why is that offensive now? So when they named that team, it was because, again, you know, Indians have strength and the unity thing and tribal and together and all these wonderful things.
All great attributes.
And traditionally, that's the way they looked as warriors or whatever. And again, warriors.
But things go out of fashion.
No, I understand. But if I said nowadays, why is that bad in 2016, that image, why is it bad? Because that's where you came from.
Yeah.
And all these reasons we chose that name. Why is that bad? I still haven't heard.
Because people don't like it. I mean, I only could answer that maybe because they don't look at it as a way, don't look at it the way you just explained it.
Yeah.
They don't look at it as a way of celebrating something. It's no longer that icon of, you know, I mean, again, I keep bringing up the Jewish thing, but
I know.
Take any other ethnicity.
Right.
You know, you can't do that anymore for a myriad of reasons.
But again, they don't fall in. The Jews thing isn't, it could be strength, what they've been through, but unity, all the things, you know what I mean? Jewish people didn't roam the hinterland in packs. And
well, we did, actually. I mean, that.
Well, I guess.
Historically, we were roaming before the Indians came along. But that's
right.
That doesn't matter.
But you know what I mean? I'm talking from a North American thing.
But my point is, it doesn't matter what it was for originally. How it's changed over the years is why most people, you know, don't look at it like that anymore.
Anyway, you know how it's got to change? It's got to be done at the league level. The leagues, the NFL, Major League Baseball. The NHL has sort of got away from this through the Blackhawks. It's got to be done at the league level because they ask the individual teams and they say, no, we're not changing.
No, I know.
So maybe the league's got to say, you know what? As a mandate for this league, this will end.
But. And television and sponsorship and fans would also have to say, this is no longer acceptable for it to change. I'll tell you what is going on. We're going to talk to... I tell you what we're going to do. I know we've been back. I can't even figure out how long. But we're going to talk about our friends at FYI Music News and the retirement Sherpa. Then we'll chat a little bit, go to a break, and then we'll get our friends from the Graham of Thrones. We've got guests here on Liberty Street in Toronto. And some interesting discussions, as always. I still think that if we have time before the show's over, I got to figure out what Phil's deal was on Friday. But that's another... I could go on about that forever. I like to change my sports team to the Humble and Fred Phils.
Yeah, baby.
FYI Music News.
.ca.
Yeah.
This week features on Pat Metheny, Jan Arden, David Usher. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All significant people in the world of music, and that's what FYIMusicNews.ca provides on a weekly basis. It's a journal about Canada's music industry news, opinions, industry news. They have today's top track. It's all there at FYIMusicNews.ca.
Of course, our friend Tim Niblett, the retirement Sherpa, setting up a big golf match. It's just for fun. But I know you seemed a little bit, you know, like, well, are we actually going to play for real? I said, no. My idea was just as a joke to get you and Timmy on a golf course together, and now we're going also with some lovely listener, and she's excited to be hanging out with the H and the F. She's a client of Tim's, as you should be. Tim's a portfolio manager with Raymond James, many years of experience in the tax effective financial planning business, and you know, his whole thing is he calls himself the retirement Sherpa because he's there to make sure you which I don't know which one I just put down. Was it this one? Okay. there to make sure that, you know, as you get closer to your retirement years, you set and identify measurable, important, and enjoyable goals. He'll take you through the whole thing, having a plan, expecting changes, reviewing progress, and so forth. And I'm going to tell you, the guy is, not only is he smart, but he is, as you pointed out, just one of the, just a good guy. He has a good vibe.
Sweetheart.
He's a good person.
Really is a sweetheart.
And he does, he says what he means what he says, and he says what he means. And you'll be well taken care of. RaymondJames.ca, RetirementSherpa.ca, and so much more. All right, well, we got to some stuff. Want to talk a little bit about the Blue Jays before this show is over to see what your opinion is, because it could have been better. They needed to come out of there, I think, with a split. Split would have been better because you go down 2-0. There's so much pressure on Game 3 to not go down 3-0.
Howard, I was actually in pain Friday and Saturday.
Oh, buddy.
Literally in pain watching that.
This and so much more. And a little story about a neighbor woman who I believe might be sweet on our boy, Dan Duran. Hey, can Dan come over and fix my stereo? I said, yes, he can.
Really?
Dan Duran.
Wow.
Then we were invited for breakfast the next morning. Oh, yes.
Really?
Lots of things happening at the new residence. It's Humble and Fred Radio live on Sirius XM and around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
Hi, it's Pat Finelli from Pizza Pizza here with our friend Jose Batista. Right now, order the Joey Bat Special, a large pizza with any three toppings like chicken, roasted red pepper, and spinach, plus three free cans of Coke for just $13.99. Upsize to extra large for just $3 more. So what do you think, Joey?
Now that's a home run. Tell him Joey Bat sent you.
9671111, order pizzapizza.ca.
Each franchise, independently owned and operated, offer good on selected product at participating franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
The motorization event is happening now at Budget Blinds, Canada's number one choice for window coverings. Budget Blinds has the most cutting-edge, kid-friendly motorized window coverings available. And right now, you can get a rebate up to $500 when you purchase motorized Signature Series window coverings powered by Somfy. Budget Blinds measures, installs, and gives you a free in-home design consultation. Call your local Budget Blinds today and save. Call 1-866-444-5502. That's 1-866-444-5502.
Sirius XM NHL Network Radio brings you every team, every game, all season long. Want to know where you can hear your team? Click to SiriusXMNHL.com. Stay up to date with your team's schedule, what channel, what time, at SiriusXMNHL.com. SiriusXM NHL Network Radio keeps you connected. Follow us on Twitter, connect on Facebook, and keep up to date at SiriusXMNHL.com.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
Well, have you ever seen a real hero in action? Yesterday, that person was our doc.
You're here.
Thank you, Phil. Made me feel great. But as Fred's pointed out, you know, you can't give yourself a nickname, even though, you know, I'm just doing it as a bit. But I did see and create a nickname for somebody yesterday.
Oh.
And it happened.
Which is good for them.
It happened, well, it happened kind of organically. I was playing a group of guys on my ladies' night, as you call it. Mm-hmm. We have a men's night tournament every Wednesday. 140 guys last night. Big turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the, I don't know, sixth or seventh hole. And this guy is a very good player. His name's Al Martin. He's a guy, I've mentioned him already on the show. Very funny guy, too. Really funny. Like one of those normal people you meet that's like uncommonly like makes he would make you piss yourself.
I'd call him Al Martino if I got the
name. Yeah,
I
went through that.
Oh,
phase.
Did you?
I went through that phase.
A few
everyone
years ago.
Goes through, yeah, a couple years ago. Uh-huh. So, but he's not short, but he's a smaller man.
Right. Right.
But very in shape and very good golfer. And he shot 77 or 76 yesterday. So a very fine player. But on this one hole, I don't know why, but he was in this deep bunker and he just didn't hit a very good shot. And it stayed in the bunker. And I was like, stay with it, you know, scrappy. Mm-hmm. I just, because he looked like he was in there really trying hard. I don't know how it came out of my mouth. I just started calling him scrappy.
Right.
And for the next 2.5 hours, that's all we called him. And you could just tell, like he liked it, but he wasn't sure he liked it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is the birth of a nickname because now everyone is calling him Scrappy Martin. Mm-hmm. Or I even shortened it. Hey, nice shot, Scraps.
Scraps.
But it was so weird because it sort of happened innocently. And he's gone from Al Martino to the scrap man. All in the space of an afternoon. And it's going to be weird because I will not be able to call him anything for the rest of time other than Scrappy Martin. Because it just sounds like one of those guys that never gives up. Tenacious, you know. Ooh, you want a job done right? Get Scrappy Martin over here.
Hey, Scraps.
Oh, I wouldn't push that guy's nickname Scrappy.
He'll scrap with you.
And that's how it happened.
This is Mark James Heath, MJH from the States, and you are listening to Canada Laughs.
Is on? Yeah, that's cool. So I really need to get started talking right away. Around North America, we're live on Sirius XM. First time in, we've been working at this company for about 3 years, I think, 3.5 years. Ready?
Yes.
First time, and they've been asking us, guys, you got to come down and do the show from our studios because we have our own studio. We're like, no, it's okay. But now here we are. The week of the grand opening of our storefront studio. We're live at Sirius XM in downtown Toronto and, of course, around the world on the award-winning podcast, humbleandfredradio.com. A couple seconds now, we're going to meet the cast of the critically acclaimed, and that means something, people. The cast of the critically acclaimed Graham of Thrones. You see, it's a parody. Why don't I start doing Norm MacDonald? It's a parody thing. It's a play on worse. Anyway, do you want to do, I think we should do Sleep Country before we get to it.
Well,
are you,
of course.
Are you
Sleep
ready
Country.
For that?
Yes. Always ready.
I wonder, because I'm guessing these people seem like they're not from here. The cast is in the studio. I wonder, hang on a second. Are you guys from the UK, all of you? And from England?
Yeah. I'm Irish.
Are you Irish? Okay. Yeah. How do you sleep? Do you sleep well over there? Or are you always uncomfortable? Do you have good beds in the UK?
I sleep very well.
Depends how many people are in it.
Okay, because over here in Canada, we have Sleep Country.
You need a mattress, a box spring over here in Canada, you go to Sleep Country Canada. That's where you go. Where the Sealy Hot Buy event is still on a queen set for just $639.
See, they finally figured out why we're saying, why are they fucking asking me about how I sleep?
Sleep.
A couple of pricks.
Sleep Country Canada, mattresses, pillows, linens, and more.
Pillows as well.
Loves that.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, they have a great deal on a gel pillow right now.
Oh, perfect. Are you kidding me? The gel cool pillow?
The gel cool pillow. That. It's beautiful.
You know what I'm talking about?
Things. I want one. I love them.
No, because you know what it is? You get all sweaty, and then you think, oh, this pillow is shit.
And how about
they
this?
Have to turn it over. Not the gel cool.
Oh,
they have a they have a bio soy pillow.
What?
You buy one of those buggers, like you get a second one for free.
That's amazing.
So, and what we're telling you is go to sleepcountry.ca, check out their e-flyer, check out all the great deals they have, and then wander over there and talk to a sleep expert. It'll change your life.
And after you get a new bed, we heartily recommend Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. Every year in Canada, we always think, oh, maybe this will be the year we don't get winter. It's coming, people. Winter is coming.
That's good.
All right. Yeah. Fucking yeah. You get the no-charge winter tire package, up to $1,400 extra value. There's so many great features at your GTA Mitsubishi dealers, and all across Canada. One of the big ones, whether you're in Vancouver or PEI, get to know Mitsubishi's 10-year, 160,000-kilometer powertrain limited warranty. And more details at gtamitsubishi.ca. Well, let's get to this. I feel so bad for these people because, they traveled all the way, over here to North America. And they're like, we want to be interviewed by proper hosts and presenters. And they got us.
That's what they call
we're
radio
presenters.
Yeah, people over in Britain, don't they? We're presenters. Yeah.
Now, Freddie, have you started watching Game of Thrones yet?
No.
Because I'm telling you, I just like Downton Abbey, At first, you resisted.
I know.
And then you became a super fan. I promise you. It was the kind of thing where, I just want to relate this before I introduce our cast. I wasn't sure I was going to like the series. And I was like, all right, and I want to try first episode. And then this kid gets thrown off the fucking balcony. I'm like, I'm in. And then people were being killed and they were having sex. And I'm like, I love this show. Well, as you could expect, on the heels of the popular Game of Thrones comes the critically acclaimed theatrical journey through the Seven Kingdoms, direct from sold-out shows in London's West End. That's huge. Please welcome three of the cast members, Ali Bryce, Libby Northage, and a gentleman who's actually in the fucking show, Bowen Marsh. Is that right? Bowen or Bowen?
Bowen, yeah.
From Graham of Thrones, everybody. Look at that.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a real thing right there. Hello, British people, and a guy from Ireland.
Hello.
Hi, Canadians.
What's going on? Now, why don't you give us a little, first of all, Libby. Hello, Libby's over there.
Hi, yeah.
And Bryce.
Hello.
And Bowen.
Yeah.
So, now, Bowen, one of the problems with Game of Thrones is there's so many cast members.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw that you were in the actual show, and I'm like, which one is he?
Yeah, well, it's most people ask that as well.
Do they really? Yeah. And now, so maybe you can talk a little bit about the experience of being on the real show versus what you guys do in Graham of Thrones. What's your character on the show, on Game of Thrones?
The game, the character's called Bowen Marsh.
Oh, that's your character
that's the
on
character.
The show?
Yeah.
What is your name?
Michael Condon.
Michael, I'm sorry, Michael.
No problem. No, don't worry. They're obviously...
We call him Bowen, too.
Yeah.
Michael. So your character's Bowen Marsh.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was a fairly small character,
yeah.
It's a bit of a spoiler alert, but at the end of season 5, one of the guys who killed off Jon Snow.
I think most people know by now that Jon Snow was killed by you bitches at the Night's Watch.
Yes.
He came back from the Witch Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And then subsequently I was hanged in the show.
Yeah. You got hanged.
Yeah. So we got that sorted out. But obviously very different experiences. They're polar opposites, but both really good. Both really good fun.
Talk about Graham of Thrones, Ali or Libby?
What do you want to know?
Well, you probably want to tell us what it's about and that type of thing, you know?
Here's what I want to know.
Come on.
Because I always love the business aspects of these. Is there a rights thing here? Did you have to get permission for them to play off this or...
I think we're,
or
just,
even
we're
know.
Just we're just ignoring that until a problem arises.
What?
You better watch it.
We'll just keep on going until we get told to stop.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah, they can't be. This is a big this is like the Broadway.
Serious.
What?
But they're 100% serious. Wow.
Well, maybe there's no rights problem because it's not
It's a parody.
It's such a huge parody.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been performing it in the West End of London. For you Canadians, it's like the Broadway of London, or the here in Toronto, we have a big theater district. It's a huge show. Somebody, into a microphone.
Yeah.
It's a great show. I mean, it's our characters. I play Graham, Libby plays Bryony, Mike plays Paul. And Graham is he loves Game of Thrones, and he wants to put on like a huge West End production, and he reckons he's rivaling the effects and the budget and everything of the HBO series. But in reality, it's cardboard props, cheap wigs, and he's unaware of how shoddy it looks. But that's why it's so funny, because we reduce Game of Thrones to like just really stupid slapstick scenes, and it's just. It's just really stupid, really funny, and everyone has a great time.
So I to go there and totally appreciate this, I should be familiar with Game of Thrones?
To fully appreciate it. I mean, I think if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you'll definitely appreciate it and get all the jokes, but you don't have to be a fan to enjoy it, you know?
Libby, are there songs? Are there dance numbers? Is it like A Beautiful Night in the Theater? Are people...
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of traditional physical comedy.
So it's like almost farcical?
It's quite farcical. There's a lot of characters. We're all playing multiple roles, so about 16 to 20 characters
each.
Just
the three of you are in the play?
Just the three of us.
So you guys have got to be making some crazy amounts of money. Let's talk about that. North Americans are so like, what? We're British. We don't talk about it. You're making some. Now, who wrote it? Do you own the rights? Did you guys write it?
No, we didn't write it. It's a group of four British writers, stand-ups / performer directors themselves. So they wrote it, and then we went into rehearsal, and we worked with the writers to keep updating the script.
So, Michael, I have a question. You know, you've done the show all over the UK, and now is this your first time in doing the show in North America?
Yes, this is the first time over. This is my first week doing it. So the guys have been on it for a bit longer than I have, so this is my first week.
Wait a second, you just joined the cast?
I just joined the cast.
Why are we even talking to you then? These guys are like, why is he get their good mic?
Yeah, this is bullshit. Yeah, so.
He's in the show, man.
He's in the show. Yeah. Is he any good? Does he do a good job, Libby?
Yeah, he's got a bit of an ego, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Does he? Yeah. Because he's in the real show.
Yeah.
Is he walking around that's not how we did it in season.
He's got a separate...
Bit of a bully.
He's got a separate dressing room, and we're not allowed in it.
I have a writer and everything, so, yeah, I want my
water. Wow, do you hear that, Fred? He's walking around like, I was in season 5, I killed Jon Snow, how dare you two? Are you allowed to make eye contact, though?
On stage.
On stage only.
Oh, strictly on stage.
I'm sitting behind him.
Yeah, these microphones are for actually talking. Did you have any questions for them, Fred?
No, listen, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but again, I get the feeling from you people that if I went to see this production, I would probably enjoy it.
Oh, you definitely would, yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting them vibes.
I'm getting those vibes.
It's getting them vibes.
Because I got a feeling it would leave me dancing in the aisles.
It will.
Yeah?
At the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about, like some of the references, obviously, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you'd get it. But it's also, is there any worrying or wondering about a North American audience in terms of a sort of British style of comedy, a farce?
We've had to take out a few swear words.
Really? What?
Mm-hmm. One in particular.
One in particular.
Oh, the C word.
The C word.
Yeah, because we don't say that over here.
Yeah.
Well, over there, it's like water.
It's common.
It's a beautiful word.
It is a beautiful word.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's funny you say that because North American women hate that word.
Oh, it's so good.
And how would that come about? So you, at what level and at what point would they say, hey, that C-word thing, we can't do that here.
I think the laugh wouldn't land, whereas in England, it was such a huge laugh, and I think it would alienate the audience.
And, you know, we've had
which is probably true.
We've had several discussions about how it's used in British humor and British society is such almost in a cute way.
Yeah.
It's just the way you say it sometimes. It seems so innocuous.
It's a compliment.
I mean, I have a friend. He's my friend Damien. He's from, originally, he was born in Hong Kong. He's a British guy. He's Irish, actually. But he says it all the time. And when he says it, it makes me laugh. But he won't say it in front of women folk.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys sort of had to just sort of, as Libby says, sort of decide whether that was going to work this side of the water. And it just didn't sit. So the writers were kind of just like, right, okay, well.
Oh, so you started using it and then
everything
just laid flat?
I think actually one of the writers he's got a bit of experience of being out here and he just knew it wasn't going to work.
No, which is probably, yeah.
Well, there is an element of it in the show. There is the potential for it. One of the characters, don't want to give too much away, I kind of am now.
It's okay. By the way, this show of ours,
no one listens to it.
Yeah, it's like the witness protection program. You just come here, say whatever you want, give away the ending. No one will hear.
Well, one of my characters literally tries to gets the audience to spell it out and gets them the majority of the way through the word.
So they have to leave that in, and they're really up for it.
We've had a few people finish the word, so I don't get quite to the end of the word, getting them to spell it out. And we've had some guys shouting.
And what's the substitute then?
Suck my dick.
Yeah.
Really?
No, she means that's not the substitute. She's just saying that.
No.
Oh, really? My goodness. No, what
you
is
know
it?
Me so well already.
So where that word would be? What word
we
is being
to
used?
Say families are. But now we say families can suck my dick.
Nice.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, last year, Fred, you may not remember this, but I think the guys...
But you don't have a dick.
I know, that's why it's so...
You don't know that? How are you so judging?
You don't, actually.
You don't know it? She could be one of those UK trannies you see online.
I could be them. Yes. You need to refer to me as them.
You know, last year, Phil might remember that we were talking about the C word, and I said, you know, the problem with it is, again, here in North America, it seems very harsh, and during the month of October, I tried to come up with a way to soften it. And I came up with this phrase, cunt pumpkin. Because, yes, it's harsh, but you add pumpkin to the end of it. It just seems so cute. It's like, oh, you little cunt pumpkin. Oh, you call me a cunt pumpkin. You must love me. So maybe you could just add pumpkin.
Try that. Okay.
Happy Halloween.
Well, everything else is adding pumpkin at the moment.
Exactly.
So
this is my point.
It's that time of year.
Hey, I went to Starbucks. I got some cunt pumpkin spice. It was delicious. It was delicious. It was a venti pumpkin spice. Anyway, well, yeah, it's weird. We don't, and it's a funny thing because it seems, again, it's just a word, you know, but North American women it's just, is there a word in the UK that you guys go, oh, you won't say that?
Probably the same word, but I just think it's your...
Is it a class thing in the UK?
It's sort of like...
Is it sort of middle to low?
You're stuck up wouldn't like it.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Is it sort of like the... Almost like, is it the lower classes of people? Is throw it around, or...
I wouldn't even say like the lower classes. I just think the more liberal and more chilled out people throw it around.
All right.
And people that are a bit jumped up.
And the thing is, essentially,
to accept.
It is funny, and in this show, it is funny. You know what I mean? It's fine if it's in comedy as well, particularly. I just kind of think it works.
Sure.
You know, it's quite...
Let's tell everyone that the hottest British comedy is in Toronto. I think it starts tonight. Let me just find
it. No, the 11th it started.
We've started.
What?
On the 11th.
How's that going, by the way?
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going really well.
So how would you compare like a Toronto audience to a London audience?
I think they're louder.
Oh, really?
And I think they laugh more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're having more fun than a London audience.
How about that?
I prefer them.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back home.
You're not sucking up at all. He's saying the cast of Graham of Thrones says, join the carnival.
Yeah.
The audiences here are so much better. Tickets are available at mervish.com. Or there's a 1-800 number, but it's playing. It's just actually a few minutes down the road. What theater is it at?
Panasonic.
So it's on Yonge Street.
Yeah.
Cool vibe right down from the little square there.
Yeah.
Have you all visited Toronto before? Is this your first time?
First time.
Fucking A, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, do you like it?
I was originally born here. I was born in North York, but I only stayed for a year. Yeah.
And why you put on the funny accent then?
Well, yeah.
God, I love that guy's accent. It's funny, eh? And now, where in Ireland are you from?
Belfast.
Nice.
So, yeah. So it's great. I mean, the city's
where the streets have no name.
Yeah.
Damn right they do.
No name.
So
if you have no name, how do you find out where you are? You go on it. Someone gives you asks for directions.
Bar to bar.
They don't know, Freddie.
Does a guy that was here for 1 year, can you still hold a Canadian passport if you want?
I can, yeah.
Right.
So I was saying to the guys beforehand, I need to go and get my birth certificate to renew it before.
Mm-hmm.
How long are you guys going to be in Toronto?
We've got one more week.
And then will you travel the country?
Then we're going to Chicago.
You're going to go to the U.S.?
Yeah.
Well, won't that be something?
You'll see similarities between Toronto and Chicago. They're both wonderful cities.
Except the one big difference is you're not likely to be killed here as you are there.
Where stay you are away from the south side.
Where you are very likely to be killed.
Okay.
So enjoy that.
In keeping with the show.
Well, we couldn't be happier for people to come into our studio and to talk about Graham of Thrones. I can only say thank you very much, Fred, to Ali Bryce.
Yes.
Libby Northage. And Michael Condren, who, you know, stuck up because he was in the actual fucking show. Who's the guy that plays Jon Snow? What's his name again?
Kit Harington.
Who?
Kit Harington.
And is he a nice guy?
He is a really nice guy.
Was it an enjoyable experience being on the actual show?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people kind of want you to say whenever you're speaking to them, oh, what are the other guys like, you know, and they want you to go.
Sure.
No, they're horrible.
Absolutely.
And nothing could be further from the truth. They were really good guys.
Did you make, how many episodes were you actually in?
13.
Nice.
Yeah, but some of them are very, very quick, very brief. But
is it a good gig? Do they pay well?
It was good.
What's the onset food like?
I
just thought I'd ask. I'm stupid.
Good
food?
Good hot dogs.
I mean, as good as it can be in the UK. Let's be serious.
As good as
that's another stereotype. Many years ago.
It is a stereotype. You guys boil everything, apparently.
Look how sad the two of them got. Well, listen, you three. Let's go. Let's tell everyone. Go to Mervish.com and do make sure you check out Graham of Thrones. I hope you guys enjoyed being here.
Superb. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, boys.
Now you can go back to bed.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. How long does the show last? A couple hours?
Yeah, 2 hours.
It's a good couple hours. Is it all scripted? Any improv?
Loads of improv.
Yeah.
Loads? Why isn't this playing? Oh, there's the Game of Thrones thing. Well, good luck. Have a little rest. Enjoy our city. Okay? Yeah. Boys, be nice.
I'm going to the pub. I'm going to watch Liverpool be Manchester United.
Are you really? So an Irish guy going to a pub. Weird.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I know.
The fuck's that on?
And I'll probably end up the same as every other Irish guy. Yeah, absolutely.
Fighting thin. Irish, I know.
I know. You're allowed to stereotype Irish people for some reason.
Yeah. So you're going to still.
Don't say anything about Indians, but my God, the Irish stomp them.
Listen, I stereotype. I spend a lot of time stereotyping my own people, Hebrews. Eh? I know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah, they're Hebrew. Of course he's asking me how much we made. Shut up. I'll fucking kill you. All right, get out of
Thanks,
here.
Guys.
Very Thank nice. You. Good job, everybody. Thank you. Nice cast of Graham of Thrones. Very nice. Why isn't this louder?
Thanks, guys.
Is that nice how loud people. It goes? Yeah, they're very nice people.
Very nice people. See, we should learn from them.
What's that, bud?
We should learn from that.
What should we learn?
Nice, well, how to be nice people. They waltz in here, they're very nice people. How often do we leave a room where people will go, hey, they're nice people?
I don't think ever.
No.
But I also love that phrase. Well, they waltzed in here. No, they just walked in. Then the way you make it sound is they were like, had their hand on one shoulder and then arm in arm and they waltzed in.
I used to say that to my kids all the time, and something would happen at school, and I'd say, I'll tell you, tomorrow, I'll march right into that school.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, they didn't say anything, and then as they got older, they started getting that image. Dad, marching. Dad, why can't you just walk into the school and say something? No, I'm going to march into that school.
Yeah, something's happened. Something's changed in the room. I'll turn that other mic off. Oh, that's what it is, yeah. I can tell. See, that's kind of
put that up your ass there.
Okay, but I ever since they we done something to the mic levels since they came in and out. No, okay, fine. So I want to talk about a couple things. We have a friend. His name is Ivor Hamilton, and Ivor was on our show recently.
Yeah,
sometime in the last 6 months or so, talking about his giant weight loss. I think he lost 100 pounds or something. What did he lose? A lot.
Yeah, at least 100.
I think he's up to losing my wife. I think basically he's lost as much as my wife.
He's lost
weight.
To Delise.
Yeah, like 110 pounds or whatever.
Is it really that much?
Yes.
The reason I bring it up is because as a guy in his mid-50s, pardon me, that's tried to lose a little weight, I look at other people and see how they're doing. And he ran. So along the way of his weight loss journey, he went to a guy here in Toronto named Harvey Brooker, who's got a weight loss program for men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, full disclosure, we tried to get Harvey as a sponsor and, you know, didn't work out. But he does great work for other men, including Ivor.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm bringing it up today is when Ivor was on, he was talking about he started running half marathons. He started doing 10Ks and half marathons. And I think yesterday was the completion of his first marathon.
Yeah, I thought that's what they call it, the Toronto Lakeshore or something? Or
whatever it was.
The Waterfront Marathon, yeah.
And he did it in a pretty reasonable time, somewhere in the four-hour mark. I don't know exactly.
But he did it.
But he did it.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring it up is because I thought, you know, that's such an admirable thing that he did. Like, a guy, it's one thing to say, I'd like to lose a few pounds. It's another thing to do, and I think it's been over a year now, a year and a half long journey from fat, out of shape, bloated, sick, high blood pressure, 50-year-old guy. I don't know how old he's not as old as you. He's got to be closer to my age, right?
Yeah, I think he's around your age, yeah.
But then that guy goes out and runs a marathon. Like, I just was blown away by that. And again, I shout out to him, super proud. I don't even know him that well, but I was looking at that yesterday thinking, that's pretty remarkable.
The conversations I've had with him, you know what blows me away about that is the training, the lead up to it, how you stick to it. Because even, you know, I, not so much lately, but even when I was going for long walks every day, sometimes it's tedious. it's not exactly what you want to do right now, but you do it because you know you should. But when, just think the lead up to that, 1 hour runs, 90 minute runs, 2 hour runs, like carving that time out of your day and sucking it up and going, I don't feel like this today, but I'm going to do it. But as he says, you reach that sort of tipping point where your body starts demanding it. And once you get there, you're laughing. And now here he is. And the other thing we asked him about, when you don't start this until your 50s, what about your joints?
Yeah.
And he's been fine.
Well, he's lucky.
And he's got, you know, he bought great equipment, number one. But still, when your body isn't used to that, and then all of a sudden you're in your 50s, you start asking it to do that?
Well, that's a great point because a lot of guys that take up, you know, they say that the, I'm not even sure what that ward is, but that the orthopedic ward is littered with guys, men and women in their 40s and 50s that took up running in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the exception.
Right.
But back to your point about doing it every day, I just saw that yesterday. I thought, you know, there was a picture of him where, and his caption was kind of like, I'm not sure where this is, probably around the 32-kilometer mark. 32? Mm-hmm. That's not, it wasn't even done.
And he, that's like 18 miles.
Right. Yeah. And so at the 32-kilometer mark, I haven't, how do you, I couldn't walk 32 kilometers.
No. No.
Without, I'd have to stop for lunch.
No, no.
Like, seriously.
No.
And anyway, I thought that was admirable. And
like to put yourself in that position.
I don't know.
It's like again, it's day after day after day, and you can't take time off. I mean, you got to keep a schedule. And
as you said, you know, like, it's a training thing that doesn't start with a marathon. No. And so somewhere along the way, as I said, he started doing some 5Ks and 10Ks and so on. But yesterday was the day he did his first marathon. And I thought it was, you know, there's a lot of guys listening that would like to get in shape. And by the way, did you have anything else about Ivor?
No, other than I'm glad you brought that up because I, too, was impressed and feel so happy for him.
Mm-hmm. This is a bad time of year. Everyone knows that in January, a lot of people start to get in shape. In February, March, they start to get in shape for, what do they call that? For bathing suit season. You know, you start thinking in April and May, you're going to have to wear shorts again for the first time.
Yep.
This is the time of year, October, November, and December, that your body, and I know this from mine, that I traditionally start putting on weight. You become more sedentary. Yep. You're not out, you know, I golf occasionally.
Once in a while.
Once in a while, you'll see me on the golfing grounds. And, but I know that, like, I just, and I'm going to be vigilant this October, November, December, because that's when I get all pudgy. I got to get out there and walk around. And I'm going to take a page out of Ivor's book. I can't do 32 kilometers, but I might go out and do a, especially when we move into.
Run?
No.
No.
Well, no, I'm not running.
Don't run.
Unless I'm being chased or there's a sale. Anyway, but yeah, like, I got to get out there and do a couple kilometers because I walk a lot on the golfing course.
Well, the thing is where you live now.
Yeah.
You know, walking is good. Walking is enhanced by the environment you walk in. Like where I am, you know, a neighborhood, it gets boring because there's only so many options. But where you live, there's so many directions you can go and see different things.
Yeah. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to, because especially moving into.
Even down to the boardwalk there, down to the lakeshore.
Absolutely. Yeah. And moving into, now, again, Dan and I were talking about this weekend. You know, even when I had a 20-minute commute, I could always, I would, once you're out of the house, you're out of the house and you're out in the world. Well, I'm not ever going to have to leave the house.
Yep.
In winter, I could get up, walk downstairs, kiss my fill on the lips, full on, and then do the show and then go back to bed. So I'm going to make sure that every day I go out and do something. Now, we don't, I know you mentioned last week you're sick or you're tired or fatigued, whatever it was, of talking about the election. But then every,
absolutely.
But then all this stuff happens. So Saturday Night Live again does a, they do the thing, the opening was a parody of the second, and as they called it, worst debate in election history. And then, you know, it was cute. I, you know, I gotta be honest with you, I'm not that, I'm not over the moon with Alec Baldwin's impression. I don't think it's the best I've ever seen. It's a good one and it makes me laugh, but I don't think the impression is as good as, say, what's her name? Sarah Palin.
No, I know. The thing is, because it's Alec Baldwin, I think.
Sure.
People are more into it.
Tina
Fey, if it was just a cast character doing that, it wouldn't be. The impact is because it's him.
Amazing point. That's exactly why.
Yeah.
it's getting more play than if it was just a guy.
No, of course. Yeah.
I will say this. It's funny because the woman that does Hillary Clinton is brilliant. She's really, really good, and she's sexy. But here's the problem with Donald Trump, and this is one of another of the million reasons he can't be president. If you're running for president and they do a parody of you on Saturday Night Live, you cannot respond. And his response, and this,
no, I know.
It's just, so this happened the morning after. So Sunday morning, Trump gets up on his Twitter account and says, watch Saturday Night Live. Watch Saturday Night Live. Did a hit job on me.
Cyber.
Time to retire the boring and unfunny show. Alec Baldwin portrayal stinks. Media rigging election. Are you out of your fucking mind? Is there nobody that could say to him, Don, please stop doing this?
He wants the show canceled. He wants it taken off the air.
Time to retire the boring show. Mm-hmm. Unfunny. Like, stop it, Donald. Please. Give yourself a chance. And then he throws in media rigging election. Now, we all know that's impossible. But his followers don't. And his followers, by the way, speaking of the C word, did you see that picture last week I showed you? Some guy at a Trump rally has a big t-shirt that says Hillary Clinton is a C word.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you seen that other picture, too, of that woman at the rally? She's wearing a shirt and it says, you can grab me by the...
Yeah.
With an arrow
and it points down to her vaginal area.
Yeah.
But Freddie... You know, how many times you've even said to me, you know, when some people, you know, they take shots at us or they'll say something trying to be funny.
No, I know,
and you'll say, hey,
but this,
we create an environment and that's the environment we get back.
This is just another thing on top of the Trump heap. And, you know, and I'm the thing is, when I say I'm tedious, it's just one thing after another. And it's, I mean, it's fun to talk about. And again, I regret saying that at that point that. It's not that I didn't want to talk about it. It's almost like, oh, here we go again. It's just so much of the same. He's a fucking moron, and that's just all there is to it. I can't wait till the election's over. And the only thing that could make this better and more fun was if he won the election. I mean, just think where that could take us. And it would be like a kickstart. Like,
well,
wow, here
what.
We go.
Yeah, it would.
Not going to happen.
For,
it can't
for comedians
happen.
Like us,
oh,
it would be great. But for people that might want to retire someday,
not good at all. I said that last week. I want her to win because of my portfolio.
Yeah.
But it really would be something if he won.
So one of the responses to his
which he's not
thin-skinned. Mm-hmm. You know, wondering about, you know, being mad at satire. Someone wrote, priceless. Donald Trump is now pissed at satire. What's next? Gravity?
Alec Baldwin, betrayal stinks.
What are you talking about? You're talking about a TV show. That, by the way, the numbers for Saturday Night Live would be watching it while it's going on, maybe 6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people don't realize Letterman's numbers and Jay Leno's or Jimmy Fallon's numbers when they did the show. 2 and 3 million people watch that show. Maybe Saturday Night Live might get 4 or 5. But he brings more attention to it by being basically big pussy about
if
it.
Anything,
not that pussies are bad. They're good.
If anything, he should have said... rolled with it, or even said, oh, if Baldwin wants to do me, he should have done this too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's what a guy would do.
It's a wasted opportunity.
It's what Obama would do.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. Obama's super chill. Mm-hmm. He would either not respond or at a press conference and go, hey, Alec Baldwin, don't forget to do this part. You know what I mean? Like if at a rally, just to show he's got some sense of the world.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing. Last, before we go again, we're not doing a podcast extra today. Just really quickly, what do you say in 90 seconds about the Blue Jays?
Deeply disappointed. I think it was key that they win one of those games in Cleveland over the weekend. Now they pretty much have to sweep here and then go back and win one, and it's difficult. I don't like their chances. I picked them in 5. I was dead wrong. The bats have gone quiet again, and I think... I guess the upside of this, it'll be 2 years in a row where they've lost out in the American League Championship Series. I guess once and for all, they're going to have to say we gotta tear this thing down and add a few more pieces. I mean, that's the deal.
No, the great thing about baseball is it can turn around so quickly, though.
Yeah.
As you know me, I'm Howard Glass.
Mm-hmm.
half full.
No, Howard Glass half full. You know. But
by the way, I'll tell you a story about saying that to the wrong person yesterday. No, I'm
saying what?
I'm a Howard Glassman half full.
Oh, really?
Oh, I said it to the wrong person. They got very, very. They will relentlessly chirp me.
Oh yeah.
I was just trying to be funny.
A female?
No, a buddy of mine.
Oh. All right.
Listen, thanks to Kyle Hirschon. What a pleasure seeing you in person. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And Idris was here. And
you fucker.
Phil, are you sure you're going to be able to come over today? You don't have to get a check.
No, yeah. Okay.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, our new sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, squeezed in the cozy lungs of Sirius XM Canada. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
Oh, it takes till 9.